there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Julian Jaiolo and Ben Starr, we are looking at different issues. Did you feel alone for those 10 seconds that they said, and here comes The Positive Mind? Brings us to a very interesting issue. We've been talking a lot about politics and what's been happening, but you know, the issue of love, romance, relationships, it's ever-present. Ever present. It's always there. I was reading a poem recently by Noel Coward. I'll read it to you. He said, I am no good at love. I am no good at love. My heart should be wise and free. I kill the unfortunate golden goose, wherever it may be. With over-articulate tenderness and too much intensity, I am no good at love. I batter it out of shape. Suspicion tears at my sleepless mind, and gibbering like an ape, I lay alone in the endless dark, knowing there's no escape. I am no good at love. When my easy heart I yield, wild words come tumbling from my mouth, which should have stayed concealed, and my jealousy turns a bed of bliss into a battlefield. I am no good at love. I betray it with little sins. For I feel the misery of the end in the moment that it begins. And the bitterness of the last goodbye is the bitterness that always wins. It's quite a testimony to the way he feels, but you know, he's not just the only one. I hear from so many different people about how they feel about romance, love, especially now around this time, around holiday time. Around the end of the year, as the light gets shortened, you know, in the sky, and there's kind of an invitation to depression. Add to that aloneness, loneliness, or being in a relationship that is not right for you. All of those come to bear, and we can't ignore it. We can't just ignore it with political worries. We have to look at your heart and the way you feel. And I'm with people now who tell me about their experience of things. Julian, you were bringing this to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying earlier this morning, everything in the last month, all of my close friends, myself, have found ourselves leaving relationships and ending up alone. And people keep telling me, I mean, you know, they try, oh, you know, feel better, you'll be all right. You need to be comfortable alone. Like, and I keep hearing this advice constantly telling me this sort of thing. And I don't really totally feel like that's what I should do. I don't feel comfortable going alone. I don't really go to movies on my own. I don't really eat on my own. I like having someone with me.
Well, I guess what people do when they don't know how to care for a friend is they advise.
Yeah.
You know, so advice is usually something that people do because they feel powerless, as opposed to putting their arm around you and saying, hey, Julian, sorry that you went through a rough time. Hmm. You know, that's all, which is all you really need.
Yeah.
And then you'll say, take me to a movie.
Yeah, so can we get some food? I haven't eaten in 4 days.
Armand, I think you make a really good point about the time of year around the holidays, you know, from Thanksgiving leading up to the Christmas season and New Year's. It's a time that people kind of seek that companionship and togetherness. And I think it becomes a real struggle also, like you said, with the days getting shorter and colder. We kind of have this natural instinct to sort of hunker down.
Some of us do. Not all of us do, you know, and we want to hear from you people today. I especially want to hear from the people who are choosing or who are deciding or happen to be living on their own. I'd like to hear from those people. I'd like to hear from people who say, this is the way it is, and I almost would rather not have it this way, but here's where I stand, okay? And I'd like to hear from you, and you can call us in today at 212-957-2729. But we were doing a little research on this.
I mean, since 1970, the amount of people living alone has tripled in America, tripled to 33 million people.
What do you think accounts for that?
I think a lot of it has to do with economic and social situations. For one reason or another, people wind up for work or for family situation, they wind up alone.
And urbanization, you know, I mean, just the very fact that you're now living in cities and apartments.
Right.
Well, in New York, for example, here in New York City, one-third of all households are one person living by themselves.
Wow.
A third
of it.
Right.
Amazing. So you would imagine you knock on your neighbor's door. If you knock on three doors, you're going to have somebody saying, come on in for a cup of coffee. Let's take a look. We're not going to take the calls yet. I understand that we can see the phones are already lit. We're going to get to those, but let's take a look at the nature of aloneness versus being with others.
Right.
And I was trying to think of flowers. You know, I was thinking about flowers, and I thought about in the plant world, there are some plants that they're perfectly fine being alone, like a cactus, you know? All right, here I am. I'm out here. I'm in the desert. I don't need anybody else. I can get by on my own, right? A cactus, right? But then there are other plants, like tulips and flowers and other things that say, oh, I got to have others around me. So what about human? What about animals? What did they do in the animal world? So we took a list. We went to look at a list of the animals that are solitary animals, and some of these are surprising. Right, so let's go over them.
So you got the badger and the mink.
Now the mink, who would ever think of a mink as being a solitary animal? I thought they all got together and got on a coat. No, as brutal as that is. But, you know, I never think of them. I think of mink as being all together all the time.
Kind of scurrying around together.
Yeah, scurrying around together. Right. Like,
yeah, we've got the red fox, the armadillo.
Now the armadillo, let's stop with him for a minute. If you're an armadillo and you want to have a date, how do you find another armadillo? Well, they have to because they're a baby armadillos, right? But it's a solitary animal.
And it makes sense that the armadillo would be a solitary animal.
Sure, sure. So would a porcupine.
Sure.
Right, they roll up. They're
and
up
so
their
would a skunk.
Constantly.
Right, they have this natural defense that
right,
they put up.
And the skunk is one of them on the list, yeah.
And the turtle. The turtle as well, you know. So in other words, if you have a hard shell, or if you have something that propels, keeps people away, you're more likely to be a solitary type. Now think about yourself as a person. You got a hard shell? Do you stink like the skunk? Do you have porcupines? Do you have pines all over you? Are you an armadillo? Nobody can get through to you.
Right.
Are you a badger? Do you wind up just badgering people over and over again? These happen to be animals that are solitary, and perhaps you may find yourself solitary because you identify with them, because you could also be a bear.
Yeah, and the
a bear so big, so powerful, so out there, so vicious.
Intimidating.
Intimidating, right?
Definitely.
You run into another bear, you're as likely to kill them, you know, as you are to strike up a date with them. You know, it's very hard to date a bear. The boa constrictor, another solitary animal. You ever meet a person who's a snake? You know what
sure,
I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, he's a snake. And by that, people mean stay away from him because he's going to gobble you up. He's going to swallow you. He's going to digest you whole. You won't even get a chance to breathe. Interesting that we have these animals. But then the most interesting of the animals that is not a loner, besides the frog, which surprises me, is the cougar, of all things. Cougar is a solitary animal.
Right.
In its common parlance, the way it's being used nowadays, it's being used as somebody who prefers to have younger men, an older woman who prefers to have younger men. But maybe that is a solitary position. Maybe that is a solitary
position. Maybe that's a natural defense mechanism.
Right.
Because, I don't have to have a risk that I'm going to have a crazy connection there.
Mm-hmm. Other animals.
We go down to the European polecat, the antelope.
Four-horned antelope.
Yeah.
Because the three-horned antelope I know hangs out with a lot of buddies downtown.
What's the difference between the four-horned one?
It's the four-horned one. They specify.
Yeah, when you get to four horns.
When you get to four horns, man, you better be alone.
No question.
Well, they got the curvy horns, and the long curvy horns in the back, and then these short stubby horns in the front.
Right.
I think that's why they're four-horned.
So horny guys tend to be alone. Okay. Horny antelopes, I'm sorry. I can't miss that one today. The anteater. Do you ever see an anteater pack? Oh, here come a pack of anteaters. No. It's one anteater, you know? The tortoise we talked about, the jaguar, the sloth. If you think about how many people do you know who are sloths?
A few.
Yeah, you know, Brady laying around, don't want to go anywhere, the nines in the Enneagram. You know, this is just, this is the way I am. Here I am. I could take my time. I don't need anybody else. And then there's the weasel. The weasel is a loner. Well, I don't have to say more, right? And the one that surprises me was the orangutan.
Yes, that was really strange.
Strange, because I think of monkeys as being, you know.
Yeah, and we're so closely related to them as humans, and humans are social animals.
But the orangutan seems to be one of those. The rhino is another one with a big horn. You know, the rhino is a loner. And we said the skunk, and, you know, strangely enough, the tiger.
The tiger, yeah.
The tiger, a loner. People who identify with tiger. I am a tiger, you know, but it means I choose to be alone. I wonder, do you identify with any of those animals, my friends? So then we looked and we tried to see which animals are the other types.
Swans are one of them. They're monogamous for life. Penguins.
Now these are people who are pair bonds.
Right.
Animals that tend to pair bond. That means without almost a choice, they look for it. But there's a number of different kinds of pair bonding. You have the short-term pair bond, which is a transient mating or association, like most people probably your age, Julian, right? They're short-term pair bonds.
We're going
now
through short-term pair bonds right now.
Right, right. You're 22 years old, you know, you meet somebody, it's a year, 6 months. That's short-term in our world. In your world, it's a big percentage of your world.
Sure.
Then there's a long-term pair bond, which is bonding for a significant portion of the life cycle, like people who are together for like 50 years.
Right, it's their 70th anniversary. They met in high school and they never...
Wouldn't that be a lifelong pair bond?
And the same as... I think a lifelong pair bond is similar to the long-term pair bond.
Right.
Then there's a clandestine pair bond, which is, strangely enough, quick extra pair copulations. You know, that's like having an affair.
And that happens in nature.
Yeah, it happens a lot in nature.
Yeah.
And there's the dynamic pair bond, which is like the gibbon mating season. That's analogous to swingers. You know, this is like whoever's there, I bond with you.
Couples who get together.
And then tomorrow, it's like a party. You know, it's like let's go to the party Saturday night. Whoever you wind up with, you wind up with, but that's bonding as well. So humans can experience all of this as well. They could be temporary. They could be lifelong. They could be same-sex or cross-gender. Could be any number of ways. What's about you? What about your sense of your own bonding? Our telephone number here is 212-957-2729. We will be opening the phones very shortly. 212-957-2729.
So, Armand, what do you think it is that makes someone one way or another? What I mean by that is, let's say someone's the type of person who's the loner type, or maybe they're the type of person who prefers the short-term pair bonding. Or we also know the kinds of people who are sort of long-term bonders. How does that, I mean, is that nature or nurture?
Both. You know, it's interesting that you ask that, because I think about biochemistry, and I think about hormones. So let's say you're young and you're filled with testosterone. Something's happening with our phones. If you're having difficulty calling in, do call back. I see that they go on for a second and then they go off again. 212-957-2729. We're okay there, right, Julian? We could ask Ma Bell. Ma Bell. Remember Ma Bell?
That's before my time.
Yeah, man, I'm sure.
I remember Bell Atlantic. That's...
So I think if you think about it for a minute, you know, Ben, a person is young. They're filled with all kinds of mating hormones. Right, I gotta have a mate. Nature says, you know, the biological imperative, eat, don't get eaten, and go find a mate and go reproduce. So that is gonna drive you in many ways. Now that's one. Then you have the cultural thing. You have the family pressure, you have all the other stuff working on you, saying to you, get out there. There are exceptions to that. The exception to that is when there's a significant triangulation, where a boy is close to his mother, but alienated from his father. Then this need to find someone on the outside gets tempered by his relationship with his mother. And very often you'll find men who are just married to their mothers.
Yeah, we've spoken about that too.
Yeah.
Well, for example, a question I might have would be, I grew up with a friend, and growing up, we always kind of had different outlooks on this. He would always be in a long-term relationship that would last a year or more, 2 years. And he would always be in that sort of situation. Even when one ended, he would always wind up in another steady long-term relationship. And while I did have relationships over the years, it wasn't a necessity for me the way it was for him.
We don't know if it was a necessity.
We don't know if it was a necessity.
Right. It may not have been a necessity. It may have just been automatic. It may have been like you call serial monogamy.
It was,
yeah,
I think it was automatic.
He changed the picture a little bit, you know, and we don't know if it came out of fear, out of choice, or just naturally happened. I know a number of people who are so well-equipped, right? I'll call it Yavis, young, attractive, verbal, intelligent, successful people, that all they have to do is just appear in the street and suddenly somebody is there for them. And then there are other people who don't have those kind of choices. Your friend obviously had the choices.
Sure.
Well, right? They just came along easily.
I was going to say, I mean, people always call me that. People always call me a serial monogamist. And I always end up in relationships, but I'm not necessarily looking for them. I just end up in them.
Yes, like, and you're not the kind of guy who's going to fool around with a lot of different people. It's just not your style, Julian.
Yeah.
It's not your style. You're a serial monogamist. You like Wheaties.
I love Wheaties.
Right.
In the morning.
Cereal, right?
I like monogamy in the morning.
Hey, let's take a call. Carol is on the air. 212-957-2729. Hi, Carol. This is Armand DeMille.
Armand, how are you?
Good. Nice to hear from you.
Yes. Same to you. It's so funny, Armand. I was reading today an article about the introverts and extroverts, the differences. And I was wondering, your topic today, how does the introvert and the extrovert come into play? And
good question.
Are these behaviors learned, or does it come naturally, and do we need to move from our comfort zones in order to grow?
Boy, you seem to have gotten a lesson right there. You just went through the whole cycle. So you're saying to me, Carol, that you're somebody who tends to be introverted.
I am, yes.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and that you look at yourself, and after a period of time, you say, no, but I'm not happy the way this is. It doesn't really work. And so you're looking to challenge yourself to step out of your introverted position to be
right.
A little more extroverted, right?
Yes.
Oh, I just guessed. Okay, now, what are you looking for? What would you like to try? Have you had long-term relationships so far?
Yes.
What was the longest?
My biggest challenge is to not love my own company so much.
Yes, you know.
Because I was reading an article, you know, 10 ways introverts interact differently with the world. And I identify so well with all of them. So my challenge is, how do I interact differently with the world? Because I really do enjoy how I react as an introvert, Armand.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Gabby, I hope you're listening. This is one of the things, one of the problems that you have to deal with. And Ben, you know this one really well. When
yes.
you get really comfortable being alone, which could happen at one point in your life, it could happen when you're younger.
Yes.
And it grows that way. But then, as you get older, and there is less biological demand to meet with somebody mm-hmm. else, you could really sink into this aloneness. And
yes.
as you sink into this aloneness, it's almost like you become asexual. You become neither a man nor a woman, but you're something in the middle. But you would
mm-hmm.
still like to have a friend.
Yes.
Right? Is that the way you feel?
Yes, yes. Because it makes me feel a bit selfish at a point.
Sure, sure. And stepping out of that, you're perfectly fine the way you are.
I am.
That's fine the way you are. However, the problem with you, Carol, is you're a cheat.
I am what? Sorry?
You're a cheat. I'm saying you cheat. And the way
cheat?
You... Yes, cheat. C-H-E-A-T.
Okay.
You're a cheat.
Okay.
You cheat me out of your presence. You're a beautiful human being with a great intelligence and a great heart. And there are people out there who need to be touched by you as well. So it's not just you're letting them into your life. It's you're letting yourself into their lives because you're okay. somebody who's got a lot to share. And in my world, in this world of the positive mind that I live in, I want to have the whole gang of us, the group of us that have some consciousness and some love on the outside to be doing our job. We are the army. We're the ones who are out there doing what we can to touch other humans' hearts.
Yes.
And Carol, you're my kind of person, and I want you out there not because just you're looking for a mate, but because you've got a magic touch.
Thank you, Emma. But you know what? One of the solutions then is to be amongst, if I'm going to be more of an extrovert, then is it to interact with people who are on the same page as me? Because one of the things I realize about myself, I don't like to engage in small talk. Armand.
Sure.
I like deep, you know, it, the conversations must have meaning. So is the solution, if I'm going out to be try to more extroverted, is it that I should be amongst people who are of the same mind as me so that I don't have to stress out about engaging in small talk? Because it really stresses me out.
Okay, now there's a reason why that really stresses you out, because you're looking to reach to the depth, you know, but when you get
yes.
when you get dressed and you go outside, you put on a lot of clothing. And when you mm-hmm. meet somebody else, you have a lot of clothing on. And then you get together
yes.
with them and you take off your jacket,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then maybe you'll take off your scarf. And then
yeah.
maybe if you're lucky, you'll take off more clothing and eventually you wind up naked together. But
mm-hmm.
until that moment, you're going to start off wearing jackets because you're going to protect yourself. So people in small talk, they're just wearing an outer layer of clothing. If you listen to the small talk without having to respond to it, if you
mm-hmm.
don't listen to small talk and then give advice, don't do that. Just listen and say to people, I understand. Let
yeah.
them just talk. And then you step aside and then you invite them into your heart. But when you respond to the small talk that they give you and you continue the small talk as opposed to objecting to it or anything, that's
mm-hmm.
what keeps it going. You know, so you could talk, you and I could talk about the weather all day and I'll be touching your heart at the same time. Just got to give us the chance to be there. So don't be so tough on people.
I can relate to what you're saying.
I know you can. Thank you, Carol. Thank you for calling
Thank
in.
You very much. Okay.
Sure. 212-957-2729. So Carol brings up this great point about what it's like.
I have a question about going into relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have an opinion on it. I think there's two sort of schools of thought around starting a relationship. And I guess the best way to separate them would be into the sort of active versus the passive. So someone who's in the active school of thought would say, hey, you have to put yourself out there. You have to go out. You have to go to events. You have to go on online dating websites. You have to go and have your friends introduce you to their single friends. And then there's the passive school of thought, which says, you know, when it happens, it will happen naturally and it will be beautiful. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. But, you know, there again, it's how you're equipped. You know, if you're somebody who's got all the qualities that knows all you have to do is walk out the street and it's going to happen for you, you tend to be more passive. But if you're somebody who can't be sure and has to prove themselves, you got to reach out. You know, sometimes you got to show people your value. Let's take another call. This is Hammy? Hammy. Hi, Hammy.
Hi,
there. You're on the air.
Okay. Since I started to know myself, say back in age 18, I was always with somebody. Till back in 2009, I became a single guy. Of course, single parent. And the first 9 months, I was so desperate that for the first time in my life, I was by myself. But later on, that gave me, time to know myself. Then I realized I really never knew what I want from somebody. What is that I need to be with somebody? I thought it's love or maybe sex, but that wasn't the whole thing. And you know what? I am single for almost more than 5 years, and it's so comfortable. not only am ready for the person that I want to walk into my life, but if that person never walks in, it's just fine with me.
Sure. And how old are you at this point, Hammy?
I'm 54.
Okay, so this is a very interesting time for you, because you're absolutely right. You know, you could close off, but here again, Hammy, I have the same regard. You're a man who is intelligent with a big heart. You get to a point where you start insulating yourself. And I think you have every right to do that. But I think we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to reach out to people who are not as well equipped as you are. So even if you don't touch for a relationship, but just touch so that people, you can be with people, that makes all the difference in the world. You don't have to have a mate, but I want you out there.
And that means taking a chance.
Yes, that means taking a chance, Amy.
I think I'm at the situation that I do not want to take a chance with my happiness.
Oh, what do you think? You think you could lose your
happiness?
Yeah, okay, you think your happiness is so fragile that if somebody comes in and touches your heart at a certain level, you could wind up being depressed and upset again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's not true. It's not true. They don't have that power. That won't happen to you any longer. Because this time your eyes are going to be open. This time you're not so desperate. And you'll find living in fear of being in love is a lot worse than just being alone. So, Hammy, get out there, take a chance. Take a chance.
Okay, you're telling me I should go for it.
I think you should call up Carol.
I take your advice.
Okay, Hammy,
thanks. Have a wonderful day, you guys.
You too. What a beautiful man. So, you know, I know I'm beating on the same drum over and over again. It's not just about relationships. It's not just about intimacy. It's not just about pair bonding. It's about who you are and the gift that you have, and can that gift benefit other people? If I listen to the people who have been going through all the conflicts over the last few weeks, and I keep asking them over and over again, was there anybody there to love you? And the ones who were the most upset were never loved by anyone. And it could be even a friend, it could be a neighbor, it could be anybody. But reach out if you can. Here's another caller on the line. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Armand.
Hello, Melissa.
How are you? So, this is the Positive Mind Station.
It is the positive mind person, Melissa.
What's that?
It is Positive Melissa as well.
I hope so. I recently, my 21-year-old, very talented nephew, died by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to get some positive thoughts on how to move forward.
Wow. So this is your sister's son?
My brother's.
Your brother's son? And
yes.
You knew him well?
Very.
But you didn't know him well enough to know the amount of despair that he had would have led him to this.
We did. We did know his despair, and we tried to give him a help. I mean, I honestly can say my feeling is not about, is a little bit less about what we could have done, because we did do a lot. He was surrounded by friends and family, over 500 people.
Melissa, let me do a thing, because we're coming to a break. Can you stay with us on the phone? We're going to have to take a break. We're going to play a little music, and then we'll come back right to you, okay? Can you stay with us?
Yes.
All right.
For a little bit, yes.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be about 4 minutes.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
my good buddy, Brent Lewis, from out in California, from the album Jungle Bells, J-U-N-G-L-E Bells. If you have to listen to music at Christmas, this is decent stuff. We'll be playing it for you for the next few weeks. Hey, listen, Melissa, let's get back. Oh, Melissa had to go. Melissa, I'm sorry we lost you, but do either call us back or call me, you know, at my office, or send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, and we'll deal with this. I understand your loss. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. The telephone number is 212-957-2729. We're talking about relationships, and we're talking about being alone during this time. And what is natural? Is being alone a natural thing? Is it okay to be alone? Things happen over time. I began saying that as your biology changes, as your chemistry changes, you find your needs change as you go along with it. And the older you get, the more you realize that being alone is a decision that you've made. And sometimes you wonder, is that the decision I want to have made? So how many of you are out there? And I would like to hear from you by email. How many of you are out there alone, having ended relationships somewhere later in life, like in your 50s or 60s, and would like to be able to perhaps start something new? I'd like to know. Maybe we'll do a program around that. We have another caller on the line. Karen, hi. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the line.
Hi, Armand.
Hi.
It's echoing.
It's echoing?
You
have your radio on?
My headphones. I'm a little nervous, but...
Oh, okay. Wait. Karen. Karen, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so slow down just a minute, because I know you're nervous.
And yes, I am.
You're perfectly safe. So let's just slow it down, and I'm going to stay with you. Whew. Okay, now let me hear from you. What do you want to say to me?
I just wanted to share that I'm in a situation in my life right now that I've just moved out of my apartment, and I'm not really living anywhere. And instead of being alone in my apartment, I'm with people all the time.
I understand that. Karen, why did you move out of your apartment?
I couldn't afford it.
So you don't have work? You're not working?
Not. I just support myself.
You support yourself in one way or another, right?
Right.
Okay, Karen, let me ask you something. Have you been to any meetings?
What type of meetings?
Like ACOA or AA or any of those kind of meetings?
I used to do Family Constellation.
You used to do Family Constellation. You don't do that anymore, eh?
I was thinking about it, but I am not yet.
Yeah. It sounds to me that you're a little concerned about yourself.
Well, things happen to be opening up for me.
Good.
So it actually is a good time in my life. I just wanted to share that.
Well, I appreciate that. And do you find that in order to get through life, you sometimes have got to, you know, either got to have a drink or just, you know, eat excessively? Is there any of that stuff that happens
to
you? No, you just swing by easily. How do you spend How do you spend your days?
Every day is different. I'm part of a chorus.
Ah.
And we're performing. And I'm very busy. I play my clarinet. I spend time with people. I've been traveling.
Wow. And what do you do on your clarinet, just curiously? What do you like to play?
I play Mozart.
You do?
And I practice a lot.
Wow. How far is your clarinet from where you are right now?
Right. I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to play a little Mozart for me?
A little. I'll play a little.
Okay, give me a tiny bit of Mozart on your clarinet.
Okay, let me put it together.
All right, put it together. We're going to be waiting.
I will.
Okay, here comes a gift from Karen to the entire WBAI listening crowd. Okay. She who's moved out of her apartment and lives alone. Right, and doesn't know, and she's connected through a chorus. But Karen is going to give us a gift of maybe 20 seconds or 30 seconds of Mozart. A la Karen.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm putting my clarinet. I'm going to put the phone down for a second. I'm going to put it together.
Okay, how long is that going to take you? About 10 seconds?
About half a second.
Go ahead. Half a second is a very fast thing, Karen.
It's exciting.
Okay, just a second.
And there are so many people, you know, who have gotten to the point where they feel this kind of destitution on one hand, but there's something about when you lose everything, when you give up everything. I remember when I was a kid, I lived on 6th Street and Avenue B, and I was paying rent of $50 a month, believe it or not. And it was $50 a month, and I had a clarinet. Let's hear it, Karen. Are you there? She's tuning up. So I had these three bills to pay. I had a telephone bill, I had a rent bill, I had another bill, and I couldn't pay any of them, and I only had $5. And I remember the freedom I felt when I burned that $5, because I couldn't make a choice between the three, because nothing would be good enough. It was an amazing feeling of freedom. Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. You know, a lot of you people are going to hear that. It breaks up because of the digitizing that happens across this. No, it's beautiful to me.
Thank you.
I hear what you're doing.
Okay.
So I want to thank you for your gifts that you're giving to the world, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Armand.
Karen, thank you. 212-957-2729. Amazing what people go through. Amazing.
People are a lot stronger than I think we give ourselves credit for. You know, when you talk about how amazing it is what people go through, I mean, think about how much each of us has been through on an individual level, and we're still here. And, you know, we've sort of maintained. It is amazing.
It's amazing. Let me see. 212-957-2729. Why are you shaking your head, Julian? Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I was just listening to your show, and I'm in my early 50s, and I haven't been in a relationship for quite some time. I have kind of like a peculiar situation where I'm allowing my ex-husband to live in my home because he can't afford an apartment, and you know, we're really good friends, and it's good for both of us. He helps out around the house and everything like that, and I'm helping him because he can't financially afford a place. But by the same token, it's kind of uncomfortable as far as, you know, meeting somebody to date and have a relationship with.
Sure. Sure, it's a choice. It's a choice you're making. I understand. So, do you think that your choice is based on just being convenient for your ex-husband and being a nice person, or maybe you're afraid to be out there, and you're using him as a kind of security blanket? You know, this kind of keeps you armored. You're like the armadillo. You know, you have this way nobody could get anywhere near you.
You know what?
Because it's difficult.
I haven't wanted a relationship because, after I had a back surgery, I was in very out of shape, but now I'm, you know, finally able to lose weight and feel better about myself. So, yeah, that's definitely a part of the equation, so to speak. But also, I haven't encountered, I haven't met anybody that even has lifted my eyebrow, you know? And I'm wondering to myself, God, I would always, run into or meet a guy that, I would be interested in or thought was attractive, but I don't know, for quite some time, and it's probably all me. I just haven't met anybody, socially or otherwise, that piqued my interest.
Well, let me ask you something, Mary Jo, about your back surgery. When did that take place?
Well, my second back surgery was about 2.5 years ago.
Okay, now 2.5 years ago, as you went through this back surgery and you were going through a rough marriage, you kind of got yourself, you said you started gaining weight and you got out of shape. This says to me that the chemistry of your body started to shift. And you're in your 50s. So there was a kind of a menopause happening at the same time.
Not yet, but okay.
Not yet, but anyway, it hasn't happened at all?
Not yet.
Okay, so there are chemical changes that are going to take place in any human's body around age 50. Plus, you've got this, plus you've got the relationship with your husband, and things shift. And what happens, Carol, Mary Jo, is you send out different signals.
Yes.
So when you send out a different signal, it doesn't lift the eye of the person who you would like to be having your eyebrows raised to. In other words, you're sending out a signal that makes them not to respond. And the ones who don't respond are the ones that you're saying you want to respond.
Yes.
So sometimes it takes you to sharpen yourself up a little bit, to do something to be a little more vibration, a little more,
receptive, attractive.
Yeah, not only receptive, but a little more sending out a signal of I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm ready. And that's part of what you got to go to. Now, that's on one level. One other level I want to mention to you about your husband. Even though you think you're being of help to him, in many ways, when somebody doesn't have enough money to get a place of their own and they live in the convenience of their ex's place, it infantilizes them. It makes them not go ahead in life. You know, this is a man who could take care of himself. And maybe your job is to help him do that by not just serving his inefficient needs.
Yeah, I've tried to motivate him to put applications in for a better job because,
I understand, but he's not a child. What you need to do is step away. You need to not be involved in advising him. You need to just put down a limit. If you want to do it and you want to do it for him, you say, we've got till the end of the year. We've got until January 31st, and then I'd rather you were out of here.
Honestly, I don't think I'd have the heart to do that.
Yeah, okay.
I know. You're right. I know. Intellectually, I know. But I don't know if I'd have the heart to do that.
Yeah, it's not the heart. It's not the heart. It's a thing. See, it's what you do with people if you have somebody who's a drinker and they drink too much, or if you have somebody who's an addict, or you have somebody who's got bad habits. You set limits, and the limits help them grow. And by not setting the limits, you become a co-conspirator in whatever inefficiencies they have.
Yeah, I absolutely understand.
So my good wishes to you. You're a kind-hearted person, but I'm saying you might reconsider. Time limits are best.
Well, I appreciate your input very much.
Okay, Mary Jo, I'm sure once you get free and you have your own apartment and you whisk the air and you open up the windows, the right person will come flying right in.
Okay, from your lips to God's ears. Thank you, Armand. You have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. Nice image. 212-957-2729. So often we help people stay dependent on us. And so often we like people to be dependent on us. You know, it's like you hire the handicapped, in your own mind. I remember a man I knew once who was going out trying to meet women. I said to him, well, what was wrong with that person you just met? He said, she doesn't need anything from me. He says, I only want to be with somebody who needs something from me.
Yeah, the kind of guy who looks for, like, women who are somehow wounded that he can, be a support to.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not wounded, he's almost not interested.
Well, that makes him crazy. Let's say that he's just one of those protective animals, and that's his bent. You know, that's his thing. He looks to protect something like so many mothers in nature do. 212-957-2729. Terry, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good.
Well, you're talking about being alone and the holidays and a lot of things. And I got to tell you, at this time in my life, I'm more alone than I've ever been. And it's really weird. When I was young, I grew up in a really big family. I used to, like, hide in the closet to find time to be alone, right? And now I'm in a situation where it just seems like all my friends have gone off, or they're doing different things, or someone's sick, or they have children that need help. And my family, you know, when people die, there's wills, there's all kinds of fights and arguments, and it's very strange. Relationships, when I was young, like you said, when you're young, it just seems like you don't worry about it, and they just come along as you need, right? But when you get older, what do? And it's kind of funny, because I'm not sure if I'm happier or I'm more upset than I used to. And the funny part about the holidays is that it can make you feel very sad, because it just seems like everybody else has something or has a place
Terry.
To be, which then makes you feel bad. Like,
well, Terry,
you know?
So you've been aware of that feeling, right? You've been aware of the part of you that says, you know, I think I would like to have somebody around.
I have to some degree, and I could tell you around the holiday time, it does get worse, but it's kind of funny, because sometimes I'm happy alone, and so it's weird. It's like I almost could be happy at the holidays alone if it wasn't expect. It almost feels like society expects it of you,
sure.
Right? To have this group, right? And then if you don't have it, it can be very painful.
Hmm. At your worst, what happens, Terry?
Well, it's hard to say, because when I was on fairly good terms with some extended family, my parents are deceased, but when I was on fairly good terms with some extended family, I'd go to their house and I'd come back and I'd feel miserable.
Right.
Right? And so now I'm kind of alone and it feels miserable. My son moved to Florida and I'm just really alone. And it's like very strange. It's at my worst. You know, like you said, I just start to eat stuff, you know, addictive, and eat myself into oblivion around the holidays. It's very weird.
I know. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing, because what you're looking to do is to get the chemical feeling of being safe. When an animal is in danger, right, it looks to find refuge and it looks to find a food supply. So when you suddenly start feeling the threat of this loneliness, one of the ways you quell the fear is you eat, because if you're digesting, then there must be no danger. So people tend to go to food, and they overeat, and they eat a lot at holidays. Now, the worst part is not just what happens when you're alone. It's what happens when you see family gatherings where people are so upset with each other, but they don't speak it, and they don't talk about it. There, they eat themselves into oblivion. They eat so much food that they practically fall asleep. And then they come back after a family gathering, and they don't feel good. So, Terry, you're with both worlds, you know? You're somebody who's aware of yourself. You have this choice. The only thing I would say is that the only option outside of being alone is not being in a relationship. There are other options as well. And I believe that part of the other options is serving people. Doing something out there that reaches out in some way that extends a hand to help other people. No matter what it is, if it's a soup kitchen, if it's a volunteer work, it's if anything, somebody with your kind of heart would be a great gift in this world.
Uh-huh. Such know? Nice things to say. Thank you.
Yeah, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Somehow I touched your heart just now, didn't I?
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me about it. Tell me what you feel right this second.
I don't know. I feel like crying, and I feel sad, and I don't know why.
Okay, stay with me.
It's kind of funny, because...
Stay with me. Now, let's say you don't need to know why.
Okay.
Let's say for this very moment, there's a human in this world who hears you, and you could relax. Yeah. T tears are the sweat of the heart. You know, when the heart is when the heart is working, tears come, you know. What you're saying is you're not so closed off that you can't possibly feel anything. You're saying your feelings are very available. It's going to be a very, very lucky person who gets to embrace you one day.
Thank you.
You're a beautiful human, you know. Hey, send me an email, would you? I'm curious. I'm about putting a group together, and I'd be interested in getting a few people just who expressing what you're expressing.
I'll definitely do that. Thank you.
Great. Nice to speak with you.
You too. Bye-bye.
So we heard a little earlier from someone who said, she said, you know, she just couldn't stand it that people talk on such a surface level. It's a very slow invitation when you invite people to join you at a lower level. It's just all you got to do is hear them, and they respond to you. We have a time for one more caller, don't we, Julian? This is Armand DeMille with you with Ben Starr, Julian Joiello. We put together this program because we wanted to touch you. We have Elisabetta. Elisabetta? Hi,
yes,
Elisabetta.
Yes, Elisabetta. Hi there. Actually, the reason I called, I just wanted to say that I personally really, really appreciate what you do. I'm a fan of the show, and I listen to it whenever I get the chance. So I just wanted to say that I'm very... Everyone should be thankful that you're getting the positive vibes out there.
It's not just a positive vibe, you know what I mean? It's not just I'm turning everything into a positive. It's that what you're celebrating, Elisabetta, is how I invite people to function from a real place. And you're a real person, and you love it. You love to listen and say, oh, God, what a relief. There's a decent human out there. Because in your life, it's very hard to connect with decent humans, isn't it?
It can be at times. It does get frustrating, and it seems less, I don't know, frequent, or I don't know if...
And where do you stand in your life right now? Where do you stand in your life right now? You have two children or one child?
Two children.
You have two children. That's what it seems like.
Yes.
And you seem like a mom of two. And how are you doing with them? How do you feel with them?
Busy, at times overwhelmed, but I actually enjoy it a great deal. And I'm a working mom.
A working single mom?
No. And actually, my husband is great because a lot of times if I have to, you know, work, like during the day, it's not a problem. Because I have them in daycare in the same building where I work, and one of them in school right next to where I work. But sometimes if I have to do some extra work, and my husband is great. He takes care of them whenever he can as well. So he does his part.
That's a really nice thing. Elisabetta, I want to thank you so much for calling in. You have two very, very lucky children, you know, to have a mom like you. Okay, and we'll be back with you soon.
It's always a pleasure, Armand.
Absolutely.
Ben, Julian, thank you very much. As we're going to go out with more music by Brent Lewis, be back with you next Tuesday. We're going to have with us the same author who talked about racial profiling.
Yeah, Dr. Good.
Dr. Good's going to be back with us on Tuesday. We will not be on Wednesday because there's going to be a WBAI special. Be back with you next week, my friends. Send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, or connect with us on Twitter. Where, Ben?
At Armand DeMille.
At Armand DeMille, ARMANDDIMELE. Back with you soon, my friends.